Blog Talk Radio.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Stack the spice, hustle, pay the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice, that's why. All my life, I've been grinding all my life. All my life, been grinding all my life. Stack the spice, hustle, pay the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice, that's why. All my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, I'm married to this gang, that's who I made my wife. Said I'd die alone, I told that she probably right. One thing that's for sure, not a stranger to this life. Got a safe that's full of Franklin and a shoulder full of stripes. I don't know what like myself. I say self-made, meaning I design myself. County jail phase, you can pull my file yourself. Spot rage, swallow rocks, I'm getting high myself. Nah, damn right, I like the life I built. I'm from West Side 60, I might got killed. Standing so tall, they think I might got still. Legendary baller like Mike, like Will. 96 Impala, thug life on wheels. Up against the wall, squabble at Fox Hill. Like a mother boss, ask me how I feel. Successful street, touching them first meals. All my life, been grinding all my life. Stack the spice, hustle, pay the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice, that's why. All my life, I've been grinding all my life. All my life, been grinding all my life. Stack the spice, hustle, pay the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice, that's why. All my life, I've been grinding all my life. I got everything I said I was gonna get on my kid. In addition to that fact, I went legit. I'm the now according to the way that I position in the biz, it look like I'm just gonna keep on getting rich. Ah, know that Westside RSC's is us. LAPD on my, I'm a squeezing butt. If a rap diss, switch cheese and butt. All this rap money, look, I need too much. Money, loyalty, and love in the dream we trust. You'll be switching up the players on your team too much. Tiny Copy, that's my love, Young Supreme, what's up? And we travel around the world getting cream or what? Ain't you get off on whoever hustle seem to rush? Las Vegas strip pop, yeah, you creamed them punks. After all that looking tough, all he seen was stuck. 50 Cent and Mayweather flee the scene with us. Your story. All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, pay the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice, that's why. All my life, I've been grinding all my life. All my life, been grinding all my life.
Dr. King.
What's up?
Say hi to my people. Hey.
Rondo people.
That ain't it. That ain't.
Hey, y'all. What's going on? Hey, what's up? How your mama doing?
Yeah, Dr. Dana, how was your week?
I was good, man. It was good. I'm excited about some stuff. We finished. Let me go ahead and do it. I'll do it on your show because I didn't give you the thing to read, so I just have to do it. the brand new show. Starting October 1st at 6 p.m. 6 p.m. I was giving the wrong time. I think I was corrected today.
Oh,
it was
my God.
6 p.m. The brand new show starts October 1st, Tuesday, October 1st at 6 p.m. Healthy Soul Talk.
Healthy Soul Talk.
Right. So we already get our spirits right. We're going to get our heads right.
Yeah.
We need to get our, even though she said it wasn't going to help for me. That's what the doctor told me. But that Healthy Soul Talk with Dr. Kimberly Thomas.
But at least she's an accurate professional. She knew that.
She's trained. She said, I'm a long call. But she said, for the rest of y'all, there's hope.
Dr. Thomas.
Yes, ma'am. So that's I'm excited about her. We got her artwork, which I'm actually going to publish while I'm doing your show.
Awesome.
And we good to go. Yeah.
All right,
so
Dr. Thomas. I cannot wait. Welcome to the TTLO family.
And I'm going to be doing her show from, I'm going to be laying over there on the couch while she's getting out.
He's going to need it. I think we're going to need about 3 or 4 couches when you start kicking off the show. We might be having people stand in line outside the church just to come in to get some pro bono services right there because we need help. And I'm going to make sure that Mike gets a VIP ticket because the way he be clowning. But, I mean, yeah. So, yeah, it was a good week.
Other than that, y'all, the week I preached out south, out west on in LaGrange on Sunday. So it was good. It was a good time. It was good. So I'm excited. And then I saw your post. Not your post, your topics went back and forth. I just didn't chime in. I let Tanya handle it.
He didn't chime in, y'all.
I like both of them, so I didn't know which one.
Me
so
too.
A lot
me
of times
too.
I don't know what to do. I just be like, y'all can win.
But shout out to my producer, Latanya Melton. I love you, girl, because you're going to get me right. She keeps me right, guys. Like, she's the one that, you know, when it sparks her in the spirit what we should be discussing and stuff, she'll let us know, you know, because for me, I was up in the air. And then I didn't get no feedback from my engineer, Kaguru, but Latanya Melton, that's why she do what she do.
I was probably fighting with a seventh grader at the time, so. Yeah.
Probably was.
Yeah.
No. But guys, I just hope everybody had a very productive, great Thursday week. Because
how was your week?
It was good. You know, it was productive. You know, today I actually got the opportunity to chill at home.
Oh, you didn't go to work today?
I worked.
Oh, you worked from home?
I worked from home.
Remotely a blessing.
It is.
Huh?
Because I don't have to worry about those extra hours to get ready. All I have to do is, I'm ready.
Right. Right.
I don't have to get ready.
You must not have to do like video conference calls.
No, and if I did, I'll just have a jacket over my nightgown.
I put
a blazer over my nightgown.
Shirt and tie. And
bless the Lord.
I had on the shirt and tie. I was like Adam. Who told you you was naked? Huh? Oh,
he is a whole fool, guys. A whole fool.
Okay,
like when I first started, my job. Like once I got hired, I did a confession to my department and let them know that. And because we do Skype interviews.
Okay.
And I had on my nightgown and I threw a blaze on and I was right here.
Mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't have known
right.
what was going on below.
Right.
You don't need to know about the love below.
That ain't your business.
All you need here and here. That's all we was here.
Torso.
That's it. Wow. That's it. Just the torso. That's all you needed.
Above
that's all
board.
You
I'm sorry.
I don't have time for the craziness. Oh my God, guys. But anywho, I'm gonna come right back because we gotta snap right back in stay in your lane. That's how we do it today. We're talking about staying in your lane. And guys, when it comes to staying in your lane, the first thing we think about is what? Mind your business. When you think about, don't be crossing over into other folks' territory and other folks' issues and problems. But professionally, it has a whole nother different tone. Kind of the same way, but a whole nother different tone. Because, like, for me, when I think about staying in my lane, I think about, you know, just doing what is necessary for me to accomplish the goals that I'm set to accomplish. Not doing above, way over the top, I'm looking at my husband as I'm saying that, way over the top, over exerting myself to get to where I got to go, stepping on people's toes, throwing people in the bus, you know, trying to kill other people's whole careers in order for me to get into my lane or meet my destination. That's not necessary, guys. Like sometimes you feel like some people feel like they have to, you know, like really hurt people to get to where they got to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's not always the case. You know, if you're focused, if your skill set is where you're called to be, if God has given you the resources that you need to get into your levels and achieve what you called to achieve, you ain't gotta hurt people. You ain't gotta throw people under the bus. You ain't gotta get mad because John ain't doing his job. Now, although I always say John, I don't know why I done threw John under the bus so much, guys. I don't even know what to tell you.
It's like I say, Starkeisha.
Starkeisha. You know, and there is a Starkeisha somewhere. And she is a celebrity in your life. But definitely, guys, like, when it comes to that, you know, you have to know how to effectively execute your resources, your talent, and what you're called to do
mm-hmm.
in order to achieve that particular goal. That's what I mean by staying in your lane.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a business, you know, and this is one of the things that I kind of, like, just drives me nuts, right? I don't want to go to a Chinese food restaurant and see a gyro.
No.
Gyro.
Gyros. In the Greek.
In the Greek. Gyros in the Greek. Gyro.
It's Gyros. That's the correct pronunciation.
Gyro.
That's how the Greek people who made the we black folk gyro and gyro. It's Gyros.
It's Gyros. Gyros. He's so silly.
I'm just saying.
You can't say Jewtown Polish either.
See?
But either way, when it comes to that, I don't want to go. Right. I don't want to go to Italian Fiesta and get chicken. I don't. Even though they might got chicken, I don't.
No, I'm in complete agreement with you. I've been one of those people who have never bought, like, at McDonald's, right? You know, I love McDonald's. I've never bought anything from McDonald's for myself other than a burger.
Mm-hmm.
I don't eat. I don't think you. I'm gonna buy what you're good at.
That's it.
And I don't think you know. That's just like all of a sudden if Popeye started selling burgers.
Right. Or just like Burger King with the tacos.
Which I heard were disgusting.
Terrible.
Unless they want to be a sponsor.
Look what he's selling soul for a sponsor, right?
Huh?
If you're garbage, you're garbage.
No, it didn't.
Look, let me tell you something. You need the constructive criticism. Burger King needs to stay in their lane.
Yeah, tacos.
Don't put tacos on the menu, Burger King. I'm just saying. Just so you can, and they're a dollar. So that means that you just taking old Burger King meat.
Old
and
Whopper.
Chopping it up. Old Whopper meat.
We're going to use Whopper. It's plain broad.
Old Whopper meat. You taking this old Whopper meat.
Can I have it my way? Can I get two old Whopper meat tacos?
I mean, I'm just saying, guys. This is the point that I'm talking about when it comes to staying in your lane. You have to focus on what you are specialized to do.
Mm-hmm.
Stay there
mm-hmm.
and grow and master that so that you can be able to reach your destination faster. And, you know, some of the hardest things that occur is that as we're, you know, in our lane, we get distracted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see other people, we see their growth, we see what's driving them. And then we want to tap into what's driving them, thinking that we're going to get to our destination faster if we do what the next person is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Stay in your lane, guys. That's all I'm saying. This is what we're talking about today, how to professionally stay in your lane. That is important. So here's the thing, guys. Like,
let's do this before we go further. We're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
So we can get yo. Facebook page, because I'm going on your page.
I'm going on my page.
Wonderful, but yeah, your page, you ain't got your own show on your page. So we're going to do this. We're
going
to take
I'm
a
going on my page.
Yeah,
guys.
Fix that, because I told her.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to stay in my lane because my engineer for Google told me to slow it down so that I could tap into our wonderful resources so all our people can be able to hear what it needs to stay in your lane right here on the Grindology. Thursday, guys. You guys look good out there. I don't know about y'all. I'm energized. I'm ready. I'm ready. all things professional. We don't leave no stones unturned. And today, we are talking about staying in your lane. How to professionally stay in your lane. And let's talk about this. It's like, I had to go into, like, this great analogy about lane, right? Like, you know, we in Chicago, guys, for the most of us that's listening, but everybody else, everybody got a city. Everybody got traffic. So, like, when I first started to drive, guys, like, when I first got my license, I was so thirsty. I don't know about anybody else when you first got your driver's license, but you were thirsty to drive. You just wanted to get into anybody's car just so that you can get in these streets. That's what my mom used to say. You just want to get out in these streets.
Mm-hmm.
You want to drive uncle, brother, sister, cousin, anybody that had a car. I don't care if it was a Hoopty or a Lincoln, but see, my brothers and uncles, they drove Lincolns and Cadillacs. You know, that was Pimpalicious.
Spanking
Lincoln.
Spanking
Lincoln. And my uncle had this Spanking Lincoln. It had a blue rag. It was, oh my God. That's like, I don't know about anybody else, but anybody who's originally from Chicago, like, there is nothing like driving a luxury car on Lakeshore Drive. Like, at about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, like, late, and you just driving in a luxury car. I just feel like you on a cloud. I mean, but anywho, I was thirsty. I just wanted to get into any car, so just so I could hit the streets. And that's how we are sometimes when we're professionals, right? We just want to get out there, get it done, and lock in. Afterwards, when I got my own car, guys, I started to be a little bit, you know, more like, how can I say, arrogant.
Mm.
Arrogant. You know how you get your car, then you think you know what you're doing, and then you start hollering at other people and cussing out other drivers because they apparently don't know how to drive as well as you do. And, you know, you just get into this mode. You speeding, you cutting people off, you feel like you've been there, so now you maneuvering and you doing your little thing until you get into your first accident. Now, what that accident does to you guys is it kind of like hits you in the gut. I don't know about anybody else, but anytime I got into a car accident, and I've only been in 4 out of my whole driving life, 4, it hit me in my gut, and it made me a little bit more nervous because when I got into a car accident, it was crazy. It was like a semi and another car, and the semi was trying to cross over to the far right-hand lane, because, you know, a semi cannot drive on the left side of the lane. They can't drive on the left lane. They got to drive either in the middle or on the right. Well, this dude, he did not see me. You know how you have, I had a little, I think it was a Ford Escort then. It was a small car. It was like a Ford Fiesta. It was small. And he didn't see me, and he was coming on over. And I'm honking the horn, cussing, all the whole 9 yards. Like, he hears me and he sees me. And sure enough, when he crossed over, I had to peel back because he wasn't going to speed up. And got hit, reared in from the car that was right behind me because I couldn't get over. Terrible, terrible. But what that taught me was I didn't know everything that I thought I knew about driving. And I think, like, as professionals, that's one of the things we do. Once we get our business or our nonprofit or whatever, we are excited. We're just thirsty. You know, we get that first career. I don't know if anybody got, you know, the first career. Not your McDonald's jobs and stuff like that, because we tend to do a good job, like, the first week when we was, like, teenagers. I'm talking about when you first felt like you had a full-fledged career. You go in, and you just knew that you knew it all, and there would be seasoned people who probably been on those jobs like 20, 30 years. And here I come with my know-it-all self coming out of college. Oh, I know what I know, you know, and I know it faster than y'all old people. Let me come on in and bless you with my knowledge. And, man, I have stepped on so many people's toes at that time. So many people's toes. I have crossed over, and if somebody wasn't doing nothing right, I'd go straight to the manager like, Edith ain't doing her job right. she meant this. You know, throwing people on the bus, you get that thirsty. But now, guys, I'm going to tell you, I'm the queen of cautious now. I drive slow. When I say slow, I stay in my lane. And have you ever had those drivers like, you know, they want to go fast and you just say, well, you know, just go around me then. If you don't like the pace that I'm driving at, you don't like, well, it ain't going to stop me from driving the way that I'm driving.
Yeah, I was going 100 one time. Dude wouldn't pass me. And I said, okay, go ahead.
Dr. Dana drives crazy, guys. I have to pray. He said he was going 100. And somebody was trying to pass him, which means they was going 120 or 40. And he told them to go on. You did.
I didn't mean to say police.
I know your mama knows.
Oh, she already knows, but she don't ride it.
I wouldn't either. I really wouldn't.
But we get there.
Oh, God. But that's the thing, guys. Like, when we get to that point where we're just excited, there's different levels to this. I'm much older now, professionally. So that means that now I'm the one, when the millennials come in and they full of energy, thinking that they're going to be able to, you know, hit the ground running, I sit there and I say, yeah, baby, keep living. Keep on doing what you're doing. And I have a lot of startups that they already have this mindset that they're going to go in and they're going to get $1 million loan and they have it all planned out. And I love the ambition that comes behind starting up. And I love the ambition towards people who are getting their jobs and stuff. But, guys, sometimes there's rules to this. I'm just telling you, there's rules to this. There's levels to these things, and you have to identify specifically what your lane is. Some people don't even know that. People don't know when they have crossed the wrong lane. People don't know what that feels like. You don't really know when you have, you know, stepped on somebody or threw somebody under the bus. Some people are professional bus throwers. Professionally throw you under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
But for us as professionals, we're going to talk about how we stay in that pocket, how we have to ignore all the extra that comes behind that. But one of the things that I actually learned about this whole process of staying in my lane professionally, because I'm just giving you my testimony, is that first off, I know where I'm going. Right, I know what my destination is. Right now, whether I go there slower or maybe I speed up, I know how to pace myself now. I know when there's times where I have to slow down to be able to receive and learn and develop a skill set. And then I also know when it's time to take off at full speed and, you know, and ride that thing all the way to the end. But at the end of the day, I have three specific goals when it comes to staying in my lane: reaching my destination as safe as possible, reaching my destination as efficient as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the thing. If, you know, you can afford a vehicle, right, like a V8 that, you know, Dr. Data smiling. I don't need the extra gas today. We have a, you know, if you have a V8 engine,
they call it a Hemi,
whatever it is, because I'm telling you, I'm fuel efficient. I don't know about all my people out there. Bishop Earl Davis, how you doing? I know, like, I like the ones where I put $30 in the gas tank and it takes me a whole week. I thank God for those cars, because you know what, guess what? I'm going to get where I got to go efficiently. I'm just saying. A Prius, whichever one you want.
Should have bought a Hyundai.
any of them. Those are my type of cars. I'm just saying. My husband, he drives the Toyota Sequoia. V8 engine. You put $80 in there and it lasts you 3 days. I mean, I'm just saying, guys.
I understand that.
So my second goal is to be able to get to my destination as efficiently as possible. And also to be able to get that at a decent amount of time. I don't want to waste time reaching my destination, but I do want to get there so that I can be able to go on to the next one. That's why we're talking about this topic today. Do you know what your lane is? Like, do you know where you are? Because some people, you know, I can sit here and talk about it all day. Oh, look at that. I know my lane. No. Do you really know what your lane is? Because this is what we're going to talk about in this first segment. What type of professional are you? What lane are you definitely in? Let's talk about the first area, the first lane professional. And that's the right lane professional. The right lane professionals, guys, I'm just saying, like, you guys like to play it safe. You know, you like to take things slow, but those who like to be, you know, you like to be slightly under the radar, you know. So when you think about being in the highway, right, guys, you have that right lane that's right there. When we're talking about I-90, 94, we're talking about the Dan Ryan, you got that right lane. That lane is typically slow. You know, it's easy to get on and get off just to stay on that lane because, you know, when it's time for me to get off that lane, guys, I get off. When it's time for me to get on, I get on. It's an easy lane. And also, it's simple. So, like, for individuals who like to keep things simple and safe, you know, and you are not exposed to the right side when you're on the right lane. You're more exposed to the left side. So, you know, when you're driving on the right.
Oh, right. It's just the shoulder.
It's only the shoulder.
I got you. Okay, I was lost.
It's on. Because you always on the left. You left. I know you way left when you drive. So you don't know nothing about the right lane. That's why you had to think. You see how you had to think about that? That's why you had to, because that's not your lane.
Except when I'm getting off that Harlem.
But
that's a Chicago thing. If you ain't here, you don't know.
Oh, my God. We ain't going to even talk about getting off on Harlem or Austin.
Chicago thing.
I've never seen a place where you can get off on the left. I you know, those are the only two stops I need. Everybody that, like, from Chicago, you know that there's only two stops
right.
in the whole Chicagoland area that lets you get off on the left-hand side, and it would be the west side, wouldn't it be the west side? So, like, here's the thing, guys. There are many elements that can help you to identify what lane you're in, right? It's your vehicle. And in a professional world, your vehicle is your skill set. It's your vision. You know, what are you in? What is going to take you to your destination? So, like, when we talk about vehicles, sometimes, if you're starting a for-profit business, you can't think like a non-for-profit. You can't be driving a non-for-profit. And if you're driving a non-for-profit, you can't be trying to drive a for-profit. Now, here's the funny thing about this now where we got these hybrids, right? A lot of people don't understand now when it comes to businesses, when it comes to doing things professional, we have this hybrid type of car. Mm-hmm. It's the car that takes the gas
mm-hmm.
and the electricity. That's how we are now in today's society when it comes to building professionally. Your vehicle has the ability to do both. You can be able to run a for-profit business and have it drive a non-for-profit organization.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to know if that's what you need to get to your destination. Because sometimes you have, like, the cost of the car, right? The cost of that vehicle. How much does it cost for you to run a non-for-profit and a for-profit at the same time? Very expensive. And sometimes we can sit and we can kind of, like, flex. You know, like, some people, when you know that you're supposed to be driving a Yugo or a station wagon, something affordable, you want to go ahead and get the Bentley, right?
See, you don't want to say nothing, but then you use
I'm just saying, you go. They still exist.
Do they?
Pintos, they still exist, don't they? Okay, like, knowing that you should be driving a more efficient vehicle to reach your destination, meaning don't start a business, a nonprofit, with the idea that you're going to furnish all this money if you cannot afford it. That's what I'm just saying. That's how you stay in your lane. Know what vehicle you're driving. If you're driving a hybrid, that's good. That means you can afford it. If you're driving a luxury sedan, a Bentley, a BMW, or a Maybach, a Range Rover, those are good cars, right? You know that you're in your right lane. That means you can afford it. That means that you're not sitting there paying a high car note with high insurance just to look
right
or pose as if you are that type of professional. Going into the professional mode. Don't start a nonprofit just to say that you're starting a nonprofit, because then you're spending all your money and your time and your energy trying to start something up or trying to appear that something is started when you're not actually doing the work. That makes a difference. And don't start a for-profit if you know for a fact that the startup cost on that for-profit is a little pricey. You might want to just know what vehicle you is, stay within your means, and, you know, and do what you need to do. Also, with your skill set, this is how you stay in your lane. When it comes down to skill sets, which is another part of your vehicle, you have to be able to identify what you're good at.
Mm.
What are you good at professionally? That helps you to stay in your lane, because when you're good at whatever you are good at, it's easier for you to know where you are, where you're going, what's that direction, what vehicle you're driving. It's easy, because if I have the skill set in finance, accounting, and bookkeeping and tax preparation, that's a lane that someone who is good at singing should not be crossing over. It's good to know a little bit about it, but if all you do is sing, not downplaying singing, you don't want to look at somebody else's lane and say, oh, that's interesting, I can do that, just because somebody makes it look flawless. People are skilled and professional at what they do. You're not going to go to a mechanic to get a heart transplant. You're not going to do it. And vice versa. You're not going to go to a surgeon to get your transmission changed. You're just not going to do it.
You know,
I'm just saying, guys.
The way my insurance
set up. I'm just saying. Oh my God, I ain't gonna even go there, because like last week. Because that just totally, you know how you had them drivers and they distract you. I'm just saying, last week, I was looking on Facebook and I seen a surgeon. And I'm not, see, my thing is, God bless professionals, whoever you are. So I don't want nobody to take this the wrong way. Hey, Pastor Angela, I don't want no one to take this the wrong way. But that surgeon, he's a plastic surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his Facebook page kind of looked a little shaky.
Okay.
But he was advertising, like, you know, plastic surgery, like butt lifts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it was just to the point, like, sometimes now you have to be careful with who,
right,
you know, you,
mm-hmm,
you trust. Because, like, you know, these girls coming out here and getting butt implants and breast implants, and when they run the wrong way, they kind of
not quite right.
They not kind of together. Like,
yeah,
I didn't see some Facebook videos of people who were twerking, and it looked like one of them things was like,
yeah,
flipping. Like, it flips on the outside. So, you know how, like, the roundness of the butt part is concave. It concaved over to the other
roundness.
Side. I don't know what that is.
The circumference of the butt.
The
diameter.
It looked like a backwards contact lens. That's what it looked like. It looked like a contact lens. You know how you put a contact lens, it has the right roundness. And then I'm gonna go back, guys, I promise you. It got the right roundness on the contact lens. But then you know, like when you try to put it in your eye, it don't go right and it's like that. That's how a butt looked. It was like that one side just concaved backwards, like a
concaved
backwards. God, pray for me, Lord. I'm just saying.
Look at your neighbor and say concave.
Concave, because that's what it did. It flipped. The butt part flipped. And I was saying that to say that, guys, when it comes to staying in your lane, know what you specialize in.
Okay, that was good.
And know, right? I'm connecting back to the topic because we got into butt implants.
Well, you talked about circumference and diameter.
But it was wrong, and I'm just saying. And it was, and it's a lot of people who claim to be specialists in certain areas. I'm just trying to help my people out. Look, if you good at what you good at, stay there. Don't go and look at somebody else and say, you know what? I can do Botox now. You know, because how hard is it? Sometimes, you know, we get that, you know, I can do my own hair type of mentality. When I can. Guys, I wish y'all could see what these nuts are doing on this other side. They stupid.
You ain't
but
you
I'm like saying, double. Guys, stay in. You guys ain't got no. Stay your lane. Focus on what you have to do. That you're good at. That's your vehicle, your skill set, you know, your resources, your knowledge about a certain specific thing drives your vehicle. And once you know what you're driving and you know how much that drive costs, you know where you're going. I mean, it makes it easier. You don't have to bring stress on it. You know, I know right now, currently, I can't get a Maybach. If I drove a Maybach, it would make my destination look cute. Look blinging, look luxury, but I'd be hurting on the inside. That's what you have to understand when it comes to your vehicle. Your skill sets are your skill sets.
Sound like you want to be getting those sausage cart, bro.
Look, I was trying to figure out what I was cut out.
Yeah, you. She get that Maybach.
It's all
sausages. It's done.
Look,
he's going to have to sell a lot of sausages.
He's going to have to sell a lot of
sausages for a Maybach.
I'm staying my lane.
I'm just saying, guys. So going back to what we were saying, your vehicle is your skill sets, it's your vision, it's what you're housing to get to that destination.
Mm-hmm.
Another area that helps you to identify what lane you should be in is the speed. How fast are you going? How fast are you trying to get to where you're trying to get to mm-hmm. when it comes to this vision?
Okay.
You know, how fast? Are you trying to go 90 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour like Dr. Dana?
Making it
to the west side in 10 minutes
I thought we kind of
from the south suburbs. Man, Jesus. I'm just saying.
So, Michael, get your wife.
I mean, you ain't got to go on my. Yes, I do drive, but I drive the speed. I am a right lane driver, guys.
I always ask this call with me like that.
I mean, I'm a right lane driver. I don't know about anybody else, but I drive the right. And then if it's a little bit, like I know if I'm going a little bit fast, I have the right to go left and then keep on going and then go back.
Yeah,
but I do what's comfortable. Okay, now he's trying to save Dr. Dana because he drives 100 miles an hour. But the speed.
Text messages, doing her hair.
That's what I was just telling my. You act like I'm trying to hide something. Like, I'm telling them, like, before I did, I used to drive, and I used to have, like, I had a, what was that?
A Vibe.
A Pontiac Vibe. And it had
a socket.
A socket, yes. And I would hook up my flat irons in the socket, and I would.
See,
when you drive, like, when you're a master driver, guys, I don't know if your uncle, your father, or anybody.
Don't get that. Master driver.
Master driver.
Master.
When you're a master driver, and this was during the test. When you're a master driver, you know how to drive with your knee. See, I'm just saying, all my master drivers out there, when you know how to drive, you would push that wheel. Right there on your knee.
Nope.
I would be right there on the expressway like this, driving with my big gun.
Nope.
I don't do that no more. I don't do that no more. That's because I'm. Wait a minute. Did you nope me?
Huh? No, there's no stuff happening.
You didn't know. You noped me and you didn't nope your 100 mile an hour
right.
Driving.
I don't know what you're talking about. If they want to listen to the other part of the show, he was dead like 7 times. Like
he
trying to get me talk.
But I'm just saying. I can't. I can't. I'm just saying. So, like, speed, guys. How fast are you trying to go to reach your destination professionally? Regardless whether it's your career, whether it's your a small business or a nonprofit, I'm tuning them out right now. How fast are you trying to go? I mean, that determines how, where you should go in terms of your lane, what lane you should drive. Sometimes you'll drive in the far left lane, and if you're not an experienced driver, when it's time for you to come up to your stop, you're not going to know how to effectively merge over to get off. So you miss your spots if you drive too fast, and you can't speedball all the time. And then if you go too slow, it's going to probably take, I call it speedballing.
That's a
speedballing.
Yeah. No. Now, we gotta get you a street
book. So silly. I want you to tell me what that means when we go to break. Because I don't even know what he thought speedballing means. But that's what. Anyway, guys.
No.
When we.
No. Probably back in your day. We're gonna get something else with it.
I can't! I'm ignoring them. The speed of your destination, guys, drive this thing. Real talk. How fast are you trying to get there? That determines how, what lane you should be in. Right lane slow, middle lane is, you know, versatile, and the far left lane is the fast lane. So also, you have to identify another element to determine what type of lane you should be in, is determine what are you carrying? What's your cargo? Because if you're a semi and you're carrying a heavy load, you can't go on the left. You know, look at him, he's going to get
So if you can, one of them,
yes.
One of them girls with the concave boots.
Yes. You know it.
I hope you're not carrying a girl with a concave butt.
Yeah.
I pray that you're not. That's what I'm saying.
And the truck there says, why no?
Yeah, you can't say it.
Do not follow. I'm slow-moving vehicle.
Pastor Angela, I need you to pray. What is your cargo? Hey, Charmaine. What is your cargo? Who are you carrying?
Yeah.
Like, when we talk about who are you carrying, we're talking about who are you trying to serve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who are your people? You know, that determines what lane that you have to be in. If you're trying to, you know, take care of the homeless, mm-hmm. you might want to stay on that nonprofit right lane. And I call the nonprofit the far right lane because it takes a little slower for you to get there, especially if you're starting a nonprofit. It takes it a little bit more time to get you where you're trying to go. When you're in a for-profit, it's, you know, you got a specific good that you're selling. You know, you on that far left, you know, all you have to do is just meet your sales and you can be able to get to your destination a little quicker. But if you're in that middle lane, it's a whole other different story. But yeah, what or who are you carrying? That determines what lane you should be in.
Yeah.
professionally. If you're a career person, you might be single. You're just driving this thing by yourself. But then you also have to understand that in your career, what is your primary career goal? Like, what are you, who are you planning to serve in your career? Because you can't say, I'm having a career that's not serving anyone. I don't think that exists. Like, when you're in a career, you're either serving the person that you're working for and serving their mission or supporting their mission, or, you know, if you're like, even if you're selling Mary Kay or, you know, any type of items, you know, what's the other ones? When you sell the jewelry and all that other stuff, Scentsy, which we're partnering with right now, Scentsy. But Scentsy, that's a whole other different thing I have to tell you. But, like, what's your cargo? That determines what lane. Because, like I said, semis cannot drive on that left-hand lane when they're carrying a wide load. You know, they have to stay. I'm going to stop saying wide load because I'm going to say niggas are ignorant. But, anywho, guys.
You this show has went way out the lane. Way out the lane.
I'm sorry, guys. We got to take it.
So glad we ain't FCC regulated. I heart gonna love that one.
They gonna mute that whole part. Guys, look. This is what we're going to do. We got to regroup because I don't even understand what lane I'm in right now. Hey, Felicia, come get your brother. I don't know what he's doing, and I know you just tapped in, but oh, my God. Oh, my God. You have to play the rest of it to hear what he's doing to understand why we are where we are right now in life. I'm just saying. But, look. This is Grindology. We are talking about and discussing how to professionally stay in your lane. And I don't even understand, like, I'm doing things of how not to. They're saying things of how not to stay in your lane. We are, like, totally contradicting this whole show today. But I am so grateful that you guys are tuning in to listen to all this craziness that we're doing right now. We have managed to get some of the topic out because I don't even understand. But, guys, here's the thing, the funny thing, right? And we're going to do what I call stating the obvious. Thank you so much, Marion. Now, guys, when it comes to driving, right, and we're in our lane, and someone cuts us off and they have damage on their car, what's the first thing we say? What's the first thing we say?
I'm saved now, sorry.
I'm just saying, guys, when we are driving in a car and we're in our lane and somebody crosses us over and they already got, like, damage on their car, what's the first thing we say?
Oh, they ain't got no insurance.
That's why your stuff look like that now.
True.
We always say that. And that's what happens. Like, if we sometimes put ourselves in risk when it comes to crossing over in lanes that don't have anything to do with us, like, if we don't mind our own business, guys, I don't know what will happen. But when you cross over and you see somebody, they make that wrong turn or do something stupid and they're driving, that's why your stuff looks like that now. Yeah, Felicia said something with the word mother in it. It was something like that, but we know what we say when we look at it. But we just got through talking about one type of lane driver, which is the right lane driver. The right lane driver likes to take things slow. They like to keep it simple. They want their progress to be easy, accessible. They can get on and off as they need to. They like to play it safe. They like to be under the radar. A right lane professional really doesn't like to be out in the open. Like, I'm a right lane person, guys, so I'm like the type of person. I don't know what God is doing in my life right now to put me right here in the forefront. But before there, guys, I have always driven in the back seat. I like to, you know, be the mechanic to work on the stuff and watch it drive, but I never like to be in the forefront. But that's how God changes your lane. You see how you switch your lane up like that, just like he's doing right here, right now. But they like to keep it simple and safe. And when you're a right lane person, the best thing about being a right lane person is that you're not caught on both sides. You know, you have the right lane, you have the shoulder, and you can see everybody that's coming over in your lane. So you can choose to, I'm going to slow down because I can't go right. So I can either slow down or I can speed up, but for the most part, they have to have permission to come into my lane when you're in the right lane just to get off. But let's talk about the next type of lane professional, the middle lane professionals. Oh, my God, guys. The middle lane professionals are a little bit more complex. They are more versatile because a middle lane professional can either go right or left, right? Like, sometimes if they got to slow down, they can go slow. If they want to go, you know, fast, they can go fast, but they right there, middle lane professionals. They like to move a little bit more faster than the right lane professionals. They like to be a little bit more competitive because, like, when you're in the middle, you're competing for what side you want to be on. Like, some people are way left. If you're trying to get on the left, you have to go into some competition. You might have to speed up to get to somebody if you're going to the left. When you're the right, you look at the right, you might have to slow down to be able to cross over to let that individual or that professional in the right lane, pass up. Another thing is middle lane professionals like a certain level of risk. Like, they're not like daredevils, like the left-hand 100-mile-an-hour driving people, but they are right there. They like the right amount of risk. Did you just miss-silly me? It's so silly. I'm just saying, right there in that middle. They stay in that pocket. But another thing is being in the middle lane can be very dangerous for a professional. Right, that's good, Felicia, because, yeah, you're right. In the middle lane, they can see both lanes. But one of the dangerous parts of the middle lane is they're exposed to both lanes as well, which means that at any given time, a slow right laner can cut in. And if you're going at a certain rate and they try to cut in and then try to slow you down, then it holds up, you know, your traffic. You know, have you ever seen majority of the time? I don't, he is doing a whole driving simulation right here. But you know how we, crazy, when we go, when we're in the middle lane and we're trying to, we had a slow person trying to come over, and now they're in the middle lane. Do you know that they are the ones that cause the most traffic? The right-hand people in the middle lane. And then you'll be wondering, like, why is it that if the traffic is that slow in the morning time? That's because you got, like, maybe three or four right lane people, one on the right, one in the middle, and one on the left, holding up all the traffic, holding up all the traffic. Another thing about middle lane individuals when it comes to professionals is that, going back to the hybrids, guys, is that you have the ability, if you know how to strategically drive, if you are a master driver, you know how to strategically move in and out of these particular lanes. You know when to speed up, you go to the appropriate lane. You know when to slow down, you go to the appropriate lane. And you know when to maintain that straight and narrow. So, I mean, even though they're risky, even though they have a little bit more complexity because they versatile, they can go back and forth as a professional. You can go back and forth when it comes to staying in your lane. You have individuals that are, how can I say, a little aggressive in the middle lane. They're a little aggressive. They'll come over and they'll cut in. And then they'll try to push you all the way down the middle lane if you're not driving. Have you ever seen somebody that rides your butt that same, like, you know, like you trying to get, and they right there on you like that? I mean, that's one of the challenges of being a middle lane professional, because you constantly have somebody either trying to cut you off or trying to be right there on your butt, trying to ride you all the way to the next.
Show
that
butt to
it. Look, I lied. I can't even say but. What is the problem, guys? Why can't I say but? And then I did this. Like, I'm looking at myself on the camera. And I'm like, rag your butt.
Right.
All
in this
rag your butt all the way down the middle. Guys, I'm stupid. I'm sorry. But when it comes to being professional, you have to know that, you know, if you're that middle lane driver, that means that, you know, when it comes to your business, when it comes to your nonprofit, when it comes to your career, you set the pace, you set the course. You're not going too slow or too fast, but that middle lane professional sets the pace for a lot. And if the middle lane professional doesn't ride at the correct amount of speed, it can hold up everything. That's why it's important to stay in your lane. You got to know where you are. That's true, Pastor Angela. Sometimes we need some folks to push me, kick me right to the finish line. Yeah, because, I mean, there's sometimes where when we're in that lane and the person, if I'm not going at the right amount of speed and that person is behind me, what do? You speed up. You start going faster like this, dude, going faster until you get to the point that either you get pressure to move off and slow down, or you get, you know, you gain some more momentum and you lead them, but then you find yourself having to get over into the left lane. It is so important, guys, to know specifically what your lane is and why, guys, why are we in these, I can't even say it, specific lanes. I'm tongue-tied now. Specific lanes, because that makes a difference. Let's talk about the fast people. The fast and the furious professionals. The ones that gotta get there quick and don't care, will dip dodge through all three lanes. Them the ones that look like the fools on the expressway to a right lane. To a right lane professional. Them the ones when we going down our professional journey, they are the fools. Them the ones that I just be like, pick a lane already, but they will cut. It'd be this much space between you and another car.
Are these the left lane professionals we're talking about now?
Way left.
Oh, okay.
Way less.
I don't know what the type.
Because I was glad that you felt in your spirit, you know, that you're a left lane professional. And then it's like you have faith. They're really fast, really, really fast. The left lane professionals are very fast moving. And the funny thing about it, when a professional is in the left lane, they don't have to pass anybody up. Why? Because they're on that speed where, you know, they can keep going. And if they do, and it's not, you know, how can I say, regulated to do, they don't go around to go forward. That person that's in front of them, of the left lane professional, if they're not going at the right speed, the person in front of that person that's going fast has to get over. That's the right thing for them to do. They have to get over. A left lane professional is not supposed to pass another professional. They're supposed to, I guess, bulldoze people. That I was in the left lane. Remember that time I was in the left lane? And I don't know where I was driving. I know I'm a right lane professional in the left lane. I don't know what I was doing, guys. But I was in that lane. And it was this guy. He was behind me. And I'm cussing this guy out. Because for me, I'm going like 70. Like 70. In the left lane, I felt was really fast.
That's a good fast street.
I mean, 70. But the dude behind me was going like 90 or 100, something like what you be doing to people. And like I'm sitting there and I'm like, nope, he gonna go around me. And he got so upset with me when he did have to veer over and go back. He was just cussing and sending signals out the car and stuff. But then it wasn't until I had researched the stuff, guys, that I realized that when you're in the left-hand lane and you're going slower than the one behind you, you have to move over. You have to merge over to the next lane. So you have to know exactly when you're not going at a fastest pace, and you have to go into your lane, go into that lane that you're supposed to. And another thing is, with the left lane professional, they're at more risk at having accidents. So, like as a left lane professional, you have to realize that even though the risk is higher, you might get to where you got to get to quicker. But what are you willing to risk to get to your destination when it comes to those professionals? Are you risk skipping through the lanes and offending other people? Having people curse you out because you zipping all crazy around? Ain't nothing wrong with left lane professionals. If you that type of person, you just have to ride your lane. And for me, being a right-hand professional or a middle-hand professional, you have to learn how to respect each other's lane. Respect is really key, guys, when it comes to this lane driving, staying in your lane. I respect everybody for whatever speed they're going in. You have to make sure that you're not a right lane person trying to drive in a left hand lane. It's not going to work. Not unless you pick up the speed in the process without worrying and being anxious about the state troopers pulling you over. Because people in left lane, they don't care.
No.
They don't care.
You just watch the car that's running, excuse me, and you follow.
Like you follow. And then I think, what is the mentality of that?
I'm sorry, the topic of what?
Of left hand. Like if you're going 100 miles an hour.
Yes, yes.
In the left lane.
Yes.
And you don't have.
Hypothetically,
you're doing this, right?
Yeah.
And you're going down the lane and you're going fast.
Right.
You're not worried about state troopers or nothing like that. You're not worried about the speed.
Not necessarily. No. But you had a question.
Yeah, like, and the question is,
yeah,
like, what is that technique that y'all do when y'all go down the lane and y'all all speeding down the lane, but I guess the first person that gets caught is by the state troopers, or is it the last person that gets caught by the state troopers?
If he speeds and you speed, you watching his movement. You know when he start hitting them brakes, it's something up ahead. You know if he's going to jump lanes, you need to be jumping lanes. I'm shadowing him. That's basically it.
You're shadowing. You shadow.
But it's
that's what left. Is that what left lane professionals do?
Which one?
Batman. Yes. Thank you very much, young Robert. Thank you. In NASCAR driving, it's called traffic. And what you do is, if you're going at 80 miles an hour, I can get behind you and go 75, and your car will drag mine to 80. I would have to actually do 80 to keep up with you.
So what happens is,
when you're in the open road, when I'm on road trips, I'm normally the lead driver, and that's because I have a, not because I'm speeding. I want to make sure that's very clear to anyone that's listening in law enforcement or anybody in the state Trooperville or any of the suburbs that I go through, Broadview, Maywood, Oak Brook, Yorktown, any place in the country, that I have a device that lets me know where my friendly, very nice police officers are. It constantly tells me where they are when I'm driving. It sends me a lovely alert, and it says, wonderful police officer, you're approaching a wonderful police officer, you're approaching one. It tells me these things.
When it says that,
I get so happy that I slow down so I can see them, because I wouldn't want to pass them up. But if you're the lead car, you have one of these devices, and then you set the pace.
That's the major key right there. In left lane professionals is that they set the pace.
Come on, preach now. Prophetess. She's an elevator.
She's in an elevator.
What's the elevator, Jose?
Left lane professionals.
Oh, okay. Don't get tired of the similarity. But.
Left lane professional. Set the pace. That's just it. They, as he explained, when it comes to left lane professional, is that when you're going a certain speed, you automatically set the pace for everyone behind you. God bless the left lane drivers, because those individuals get where they got to go with a lot amount of risk, but they get there. I'm telling you, they set the pace. Amen to that. Amen to that. Guys, let's talk about this. How do I know when I'm driving outside of my lane? How do you know that? Like, how do you know when you're driving out in the wrong lane? What do you feel like? For me, being a right lane driver, professionally, when I'm driving outside of my lane, it feels uncomfortable. I get anxious. I don't want nobody talking to me when I'm in a different lane than the lane that I'm comfortable with driving. When it comes to a professional, a right lane professional, you know when you're in the middle lane, because you're like, oh, Lord, you want to cuss everybody out that's cutting in front of you and messing up your pace because you don't know if you should go fast, slow. It's uncomfortable. And it's also prone to accidents. So when you start seeing a lot of things kick up professionally in your life, a lot of professional accidents and errors happening, that's when you kind of know it's a trigger that you're out of your lane. When you start feeling a certain way and you're creating friction with the people in your car. Because I'm going to tell you this. If you're carrying cargo and I'm in that middle lane, Mike cannot say nothing to me. Don't tell me, get off right here. Or, babe, you know what you do? I don't want nobody saying nothing, like, spontaneously quick. Like, don't talk to me when I'm in a different lane. I like to stay focused so that I'm making sure I'm not making any mistakes. And that's how it is as a professional. When you're switching lanes, you know it because you feel uncomfortable. And Felicia, you said, yep, it's like when the person is pushing you to drive faster and you're doing the speed limit, get in another lane. That's what it is. Like, you know, sometimes going outside of your lane is beneficial, you know, and only on certain times when it's beneficial. But professionally, you know how it makes you feel when you're outside of your lane. Sometimes you feel like, you know, when you're in a meeting with a bunch of middle lane professionals and they're talking about let's go this way with this particular project. No, let's go this way. Let's go right with this particular project. You know what? We could be able to just build a whole building from scratch from this one. That's the left laners. And then the right laners are like, no, we're going to stick right here in this meeting room. We just going to stay right here. And the middle lane people are like, either way it's down. Sometimes that's the tension that you feel as you're trying to move forward. Even when you're asking people about professional advice, guys, that's what you get. If you get a left lane professional, they're going to tell you to drive that thing in. And then sometimes they even question and criticize why you're going at a different pace when you know that you can go faster. You know you can go faster, right? You know you can get there quicker if you do this way. And then sometimes you get frustrated with the left hand, with the right hand lane drivers, because they want you to go very slow. They want you to take your time and pace yourself. I am that person. I don't mind. I am comfortable being in the lane that I'm in. I tell people to take your time. Do it right. You can do it, baby.
Do it tonight.
Do it tonight.
I like a word of me.
I am that type of professional because I want to make sure you make it there with the least amount of risk. But for me, having to serve left lane professionals, small business owners, I have to see that vision. I have to see that vision. Hey, Lena! I have to see that vision for a left lane person. So being an individual or a professional that knows how to drive all lanes and knows the areas in which or the characteristics of each particular. Now, I'm still right lane driver, but I know the characteristics of a left lane driver, professional driver, and a middle lane professional driver. So when I get in those lanes, I know what I'm up for. I know what I'm up against. I know how to be able to, okay, I'm in that left lane. I got to speed up because I'm with the left laners. But then it also allows you to strategically think for the individual, which is another key element of a person when you're driving to your success and staying in your lane, is knowing specifically how to communicate with a different type of driver. That's how you work. That's how you able to work in harmony at work, you know. Pastor Angela says, but you know that when you're led by God, don't trust you, trust in Him. Lean not into your own understanding, but in all ways acknowledge God, and He will direct you entirely. Now that is rich. That right there is a good closer for me, is that at the end of the day, right, we can be able to drive wherever we're going to drive and whatever lane we want to drive, but we can't reach that destination unless we're driven by God. I mean, that's just real. He drives me, guys. Even though I'm comfortable in staying in that left lane, as you can see, I'm a behind-the-scenes person. I like being behind the scenes. But when He directs you to go in the forefront, Felicia, when He directs you to make those moves for that catering business, when He directs you into starting these nonprofits, He's going to give you exactly the resources, and He's going to tell you when to speed up and when to slow down, ain't He, baby?
That's right.
He's going to show enough tell you. Now, I'm going to say this, and then we're going to close, guys. When is the proper time to switch lanes?
Mm.
When is it time for you to go from the right lane to the left lane, and go from the middle lane to the right lane? It's at the pace that drives the purpose. Whatever that pace is, you drive it. You drive it however you need to drive it, at what angles you need to drive it, at how fast or slow you need to drive it, as long as you get there and as long as you don't kill nobody in the process. Oh my God. We are trying to get there. Guys, I don't know what to tell you, but this was an awesome, awesome, awesome show. Thank you, guys. Like, I love each and every one of you guys. Like, man, I do not take it for granted that we are in this lane. Like, I feel like, you know, I feel like Hova now. I feel like rapping. Like, you know, H-O-V, got my own lane already. Like, I feel like I'm there. Oh, my God. But... yes, definitely, Pastor Angela. You losing money, resources, if you can't hear from God. And that's one of the things. I don't care what it is. If you don't stay in your lane, you're going to mess up. That means, guys, don't do what God is called to do. You can't play God in this whole thing. Stay in your lane. Stay where you at. Do what you do with the skills that is given to you. And do what you need to do under the power and the authority. The authority of the creator. Of
authority.
Guys, I'm telling you, y'all allowed us to be a whole fool today. I don't even understand that.
Oh,
like,
you the only one on camera, they don't know you talking to. I'm not even in the room. I'm on the other side of town. They don't know who you're talking to.
Guys. You know exactly who I'm talking to.
Right, I'm remote, though.
The man that I've been married to for 11 years.
Yeah,
and the engineerical guru back here acting a whole fool on this Thursday. But they made my show so live today because we're staying in our lane. Do what you called to do, guys, because what you do is great. Go where you called to go, guys, because that's your destination. That's how you do it. And I believe that everybody professionally, whether it's your nonprofit, your career, your small business, I truly believe that you're going to get exactly where you need to get to. You just stay in your lane. All right, once again, I'm your girl, Lissette Hernton, and this is Gridology. I will see you next Thursday. Lord knows what's going to happen next Thursday, because these guys got me so turned up. I don't know about this whole conversation, but I'd like to thank my yellow media family. I mean, you guys are amazing. We're growing. I'm going to say we're growing, we're showing.
Over there, you know.